Soikle. Who's the most fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers? Todd Alba did decide to text us who's fun to get a drink with in the GOP.
Fantastic.
Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the noon hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And I love, Jane, when you play that opener with the text from Todd on the different GOP members. When we have a guest, because I get to watch their reaction, and so often it's either laughing or just a silent nod of agreement that yes, Robin Voss has no sense of humor.
He's a chucklemeister deep inside. I'm gonna get it out of him. That's my mission.
That is our mission. Yes. We're gonna get him to laugh someday.
We'll crack him up.
All right. Well, we do have a guest. And so our guest this half hour is Human Rights Campaign Wisconsin State Director Wendy Stroud. Coming back. Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you too. I love that intro too with the drinking with the Republicans.
Yes, it is. Because Todd did say there's not all of them, but specifically Voss, not so much.
I can see that.
All right. Well, as we said at the top of the show today, we are 3 weeks away from a very important election. And Human Rights Campaign Wisconsin, no stranger to activating people to get out the vote and get equality voters fired up. And, you know, we had you on in the fall talking about Governor Evers and Mandela and the different important races then, and this time is no different. And you guys just came out with endorsements for Janet Protasiewicz and Jody Habish-Sinikin. And so we wanted to have you back to kind of talk about, you know, I think so much of the conversation right now is around abortion. And for good reasons. We talk about abortion. We're all three women. I know abortion is obviously also an important issue for LGBTQ people. But also beyond that main issue that is getting so much attention, what else is at stake for the LGBTQ community with both races?
I mean, well, you know, LGBTQ rights are, you know, always on the line, and we're seeing this nationwide. We are very fortunate right now that we have Governor Evers' veto to protect LGBTQ plus people. But we've endorsed in Senate District 8 with Jody Habish-Sinikin because, you know, when we elect her to the Senate, we are able to once again protect Governor Evers' veto. If her opponent wins, there's that, you know, the Senate gets back to a supermajority, and we have this little slim margin to protect the governor's veto. And it's his veto that is protecting LGBTQ plus people now. I mean, we're seeing it all around us. But also, you know, people may not think about this, but with the Supreme Court race, it also really affects legislation that can be passed for LGBTQ plus people, because it really is all about the maps this year.
Yep.
This Supreme Court race, you know, we have the opportunity by electing Janet Protasiewicz to have a court that will actually look at fair maps and actually pass fair maps. Because think of all the great things that we can do. If we had fair maps, we know that Wisconsin elects pro-quality people statewide. We've seen it with Governor Evers. He's one of the most pro-quality governors we've ever had. And, you know, one of his very first act when his first day as governor was to pass pro-quality legislation as an executive order. And so we know our state, has a majority of people who support pro-quality. We know this, that, you know, equality is popular, it's bipartisan. Let's just look to Michigan. Michigan, up north.
I know. And this is so interesting just for context, Michigan does have a situation where their state constitution lets them vote on a binding referendum, which they organized mid teens of because they got really gerrymandered the same year that Wisconsin got really gerrymandered, but they were actually able to organize and change it based on a vote, which we cannot do. Right. And they got new maps. And now they have a Democrat, correct me if I'm wrong, state Senate and assembly and governor. And so they have moved quickly on being able to pass a lot of different things.
Oh, yeah. One of their first things that they did is pass pro-equality legislation, pro-LGBTQ plus equality legislation. And it was bipartisan, not just like one or
two
Republicans. Yeah, there were multiple Republicans that voted on this legislation. So it's not about like fair maps. It's not, you know, it's not just about having one party over another. It's about voters being able to choose who they want to represent them, you know, who they want to, you know, and that included Republicans who are going to, you know, who are pro-equality. And it's really about electing, you know, people who about being able to pass pro-equality legislation. And, you know, they're doing some exciting things up there because they have fair maps.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and so we have this opportunity with the Supreme Court race to be able to get new maps, be able to have a chance where voters of Wisconsin get to choose who they want to support, you know, who they want to represent them in Madison, not the other way around. You know, right now it's our elected officials have chosen the constituents, and that's not how it works, how it should work.
And Wendy, this is what I push too, that I find so irritating. The reason why our lawmakers don't have to respond to any of the wants of their constituents is because they're in such safe seats. Mm-hmm. And that's why they can come and gavel in and gavel out on abortion rights. That's why they can come in and gavel in and gavel out on guns and safety. And talking about protecting Governor Evers' veto, without Governor Evers' veto, we will have permitless concealed carry in Wisconsin, and the vast majority of state residents don't want that.
Right. I mean, we're seeing that our elected officials are not listening to us. The majority, you know, they're not listening to us, you know, or to what, you know, what people want. They're able, like you said, they're in safe seats. They're able to go in and do what they want. And we're seeing that, you know, in other gerrymandered states where people are, you know, legislators are, you know, they're not listening to their constituents, they're not listening to what the people of their state want. And the people of Wisconsin and the people across the country, you know, majority of them are pro-equality and they support LGBTQ plus issues. And that is why, you know, it is important that your listeners, that equality voters turn out for this spring election and make sure that they are voting for a candidate that is going to, that just cares about fairness, that cares about fair maps, that cares about making sure that voters have the right to choose their elected officials.
We're talking to Human Rights Campaign Wisconsin State Director Wendy Strout about the upcoming election and what's at stake for the LGBTQ community. And it's so interesting, I think, the thing that just stuck out to me, because the majority of people, like you said, are pro-equality. Mm-hmm. And yet there is a sect of the Republican Party that is doubling down on all of this anti-trans, whether it's at the school board level, whether it's at the state level, whether it's at the national level. Because I just saw Representative Mark Pocan from Madison have a press conference, because at the federal level now, they're trying to target transgender athletes again. And to his credit, which we've talked about on this show before, is that the real problems with women's sports are sexual harassment and equal pay and assault. And yet none of these people who are so concerned about protecting women's sports against trans athletes have anything to say about that. And so it's, what is it? Have you, at any of the work that you guys are doing, been able to pinpoint why they think this is a winning issue? If it really is, most people either one are pro-equality or two ambivalent at best, because it just doesn't affect them.
You know, there's just, you know, they're really trying to erase LGBTQ plus people. They're trying to, you know, we've seen that, you know, we've seen so many anti-LGBTQ plus laws across the country.
So many.
And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking because really the people that are, you know, really being targeted are kids. A lot of them are kids, the most vulnerable, at the most vulnerable time in their lives. You know, I remember what I was like when I was, a teenager, and it was hard just, and I wasn't being attacked like this. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to imagine why they're doing this, but they're really just trying to erase LGBTQ plus people. They're really trying to make sure that they, and some people may see it as a distraction, but again, it's just another example of the people not listening to their constituency and pushing their own agenda. And again, we're seeing, it's all about they talk about protecting women's sports. They talk about protecting women's youth, women in sports, but it's women are, it's like you said, some of the issues are even funding. Like their women's sports are not getting funded. We see that kind of with the March Madness. We've seen some tweet, in the past where the locker rooms are different. The men's locker room are different than the women's locker room, but they're still playing the same sport and the same, March Madness. And so it's really, it's just kind of, this distraction where they're trying to erase LGBTQ plus people. They're trying to erase trans people. And they're going after issues that, they're thinking that are going to be winning issues for them, and they're not, because the majority of people do not support these bans.
Yeah.
We've seen poll after poll. It says LGBT, people do not support these bans. Even a majority of Republicans do not support these bans. Because we know sports are great. Sports are great for kids. It's not about winning. It's not about, what is maybe about winning, but it's not about scholarships. It's not about going pro. There's so many benefits that you get out of sports. I've seen it, just in the young people in my life, how sports has really helped them. I know you've been, played sports. Yeah. And it's like such the benefits that the kids get. And it's like, why should transgender kids be left out of this great opportunity to build these skills, to learn how to work as a team, to really build these life skills? So it's just, again, trying to erase a whole population.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Wendy is going to stick with us through the break. We're going to talk more about the election that is coming up 3 weeks from today. If you have any questions for Wendy, you are welcome to text in at 844-967-2789. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Are there so many songs about voting?
Gotta get you into that booth. Whoa, gotta get you into that booth.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. That is Jane Matinere. We haven't heard that song in a while.
Is that
the Whiffin' Poofs?
Yeah, the Yale Whiffin' Poofs, my faves.
Your faves. Because we are voting. We are voting in 3 weeks, maybe before 3 weeks, since early voting starts next week, or maybe you are going to mail in your absentee vote. But certainly you are going to vote before or on April 4th in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. because we have a very important election. And here to talk more about that, our guest this segment, last segment, is Human Rights Campaign Wisconsin State Director Wendy Strout. And we touched a little bit on it in the last segment, but Human Rights Campaign Wisconsin has endorsed Janet Protasiewicz for Wisconsin Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. And, it's harder to talk about the importance, I think, with the Senate District 8 race, because it's not a statewide election, but it does affect right. the entire state, as you said, with being able to protect the veto, because if she wins, then the state Senate will no longer have a supermajority. And so that's really important. But I think let's talk a little bit more about, because again, I feel like, what is it about Janet's rulings, or what is it beyond just kind of the partisan lines that really made you guys feel like you want to endorse Janet Protasiewicz?
Well, I mean, she's definitely someone who, you know, in her, you know, her background, her experience, and you know, where she is personally, especially when it comes to LGBTQ plus issues, someone who has stated about, you know, who we know is going to look at her rulings fairly. So we know that she is someone that, you know, when, you know, they bring, you know, when maps come up again, she's definitely going to be someone that we, that is going to really look at the fairness and look at how she, you know, how she would rule on fairer maps. And so that's definitely something that we considered. And also the fact that, you know, her opponent is just not someone that, you know, he has a record on how he's ruled. He's also just stated he's not someone who really is, he's going to go along with the more conservative justices on their issues. And that's definitely not something that we want to see happen. I mean, the courts, I don't think people really understand how important the Supreme Court is. You know, they think it's, oh, some just obscure. It's like they look at like the presidential, or they look at, you know, who their congressperson is, or, you know, but the Supreme Court is really important to a lot of issues and has really made some key decisions. But again, you know, not to keep, you know, beating, you know, hitting the same point, is just that, you know, again, you know, the Supreme Court has, you know, last time they had a chance to choose fairer maps, they did not. Mm-hmm. And they have made some decisions that, and made some rulings that just are not really fair to the people of Wisconsin. And the biggest issue, I think, is, you know, we want to make sure that in this, you know, the next time that we go to the polls, you know, next spring or next fall, that people have, you know, an opportunity to vote for the people that they really want to vote for. And so, I mean, this election cannot be more important. And, you know, we saw that in February, we had a high turnout, and we really, you know, we're pushing our members, our supporters, equality voters, to get out and vote this election, and how crucial it is, and trying to educate people on that issue.
And Wendy, the fact that Dan Kelly was getting paid by the Wisconsin Republican Party to try and overturn Joe Biden's election results in Wisconsin, how can that not just make people go bleh?
I know. It's like, that should tell you everything you need to know, about this race. It's like, one person believes the elections, you know, believes in the election results, one person does not. So, I mean, I think it's, and to have somebody on the court that would even be in that position, you know, that would even take that stand, that, I mean, that's not a justice, that's not somebody I want on the Supreme Court. It isn't somebody I feel like I have confidence in to make fair rulings.
Well, technically, we already have three on the, if you look at the ruling that happened after the 2020 election, there were three people who did vote in favor of Donald Trump. And Hagedorn as the quintessential unexpected swing vote.
Such a disappointment.
Such a disappointment.
Oh, we're so disappointed in Brian.
We don't need another one, I guess we should say. We don't need another person who doesn't believe in the election the results came in. Briefly, before we let you go, it's hard to talk about all the different, because there's so many school board elections and mayoral and common council and everything, but just talk briefly as far as, like you said, we talk about presidents, we talk about governors, and some of these big races that affect things statewide. But we've talked about, the last time you were on, the Human Rights Campaign Municipal Equality Index. And some of Wisconsin cities have seen, you know, huge increases. Green Bay, Racine, different places beyond Milwaukee and Madison have really gotten their scores up as far as their inclusivity as a city. And so we only got 2 minutes, but like, can you speak a little bit on the importance of local elections when it comes to decisions that get made that make LGBTQ people safe in those communities?
Right. And I just want to point out, Racine just reached 100. It's like, it's very exciting. Yeah. So last year they just reached 100. But yeah, I mean, so I really want to encourage people to, you know, even though HRC's only made those two endorsements, we really encourage people to like ask those questions, like look at who's running on your ballot. You know, where do they stand on issues relating to the LGBTQ community? You know, you look at Racine and Green Bay and how they, their city council and their mayor has made the decisions about like policies that affect LGBTQ people and inclusiveness. And even on school boards, you know, when I moved to a new district, I called my school, the people running for school board. I said, where do you stand on these issues? Like, do you support inclusivity in the school districts? And I encourage people to do the same thing. You know, your these people are running to represent you. Call them, ask them the issues, email them, find out what their issues are to, like, find out, like, do you support inclusive schools? Do you support inclusive communities? Where do you stand on LGBTQ equality? So I would encourage people to do that as well.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Wendy Strout, thank you so much for joining us. Anything you want to quickly plug or where people can get more information on the work you're doing?
Yeah, if you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, HRC Wisconsin. I also encourage you to go to hrc.org. We have a ton of resources, great information about your school board candidates as well. So thank you.
Perfect. We will link all of that to today's show notes. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
All right. When we come back, Elon Musk building a utopia. Would you want to live there? I don't know. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
My polling station. Oh, mother, tell your children not to do what I have done. I sat out on a... You know I'm a dreamer.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And I have to admit, so I didn't want to talk about this on air because it's like, it's pretty bougie.
Can you define what bougie means?
Bougie is, you know, it's expensive, it's nice, it's indulgent. But Mike and I, over the weekend, he treated me to a weekend at the American Club in Kohler, Wisconsin.
So is that like the ultimate of bougie?
For Wisconsin?
That's pretty up there.
I think there's an argument to be made that it is the nicest hotel in Wisconsin. I think they've won multiple awards where it's one of the top five historic hotels in the country.
Wow.
And I went there as a kid. So we went to Sheboygan as a family trip, but we were in Sheboygan and we went to the design center. And we talked about on that in the show, but this weekend we actually stayed at the hotel and it's so nice there. Oh my gosh. But it's not cheap. And so I almost didn't admit it because it's almost embarrassing that we splurged, but we did. And it was wonderful. And, you know, but one of the things that I think is so special about Kohler and the American Club is the history of it being a company town.
Right.
And that the American Club originally was immigrant housing. It was not. It was only probably within my lifetime that it became a luxury hotel.
5-star, yeah.
But, and I remember talking about this in the fall after I had relearned that and the history of the Kohler family and the generations who have been in charge of Kohler, the company, and the care they took of the people who worked for them. And that by making the American Club and it being boarding for the people who worked for them. And I remember coming back and thinking, like, what if companies did that today? Like, these huge corporations, especially corporations that rely on immigrant labor or low-income labor, if they actually provided housing and community and the you know, kind of the company town. As there were so many, whether it was paper mills, maybe not all that like had housing, but there's so many in Wisconsin, so many across the country at one point where you worked for the big company that was in town. And so I remember thinking that, and I thought that even this weekend. And then I read this, and I'm still working through how I feel about it.
Okay.
But Elon Musk mm-hmm. has bought 3,500 acres, is it acres or miles? Acres, 3,500 acres in the Austin area, okay. Austin, Texas.
Austin's a great city.
Great city. That is where he's moved Tesla there. SpaceX is in Texas. I think even parts of, I don't know if any Twitter employees, because I know he's still, I never know what happened with the back rent for the Twitter office in San Francisco.
I think there's only 3 people left at Twitter.
And so, you know, this is a man who's not without his own controversy and egomania. But I also think I kind of get it, because he's bought this land that, if you want to picture what 3,500 acres is, which is a lot bigger than, like, I don't know how big Kohler is, but Kohler is not big.
Right.
But it is 4 times the size of Central Park.
Oh, my.
So it's big. So he's bought a lot of land. And he, in his words, is building a utopian town for the people who work for his companies. So it's in the Austin area. And so this is per reports from the Wall Street Journal was the first to report on this, that he's setting to make his own town just outside of Austin. And the report claims that this new town will serve as housing for Austin area employees, for Tesla, SpaceX, and the Boring Company, which I don't know if the Boring Company sits above those. But, and I, obviously there's not a ton of details. Like, is it going to be, because Austin's getting more and more expensive. It's a very desirable place to live.
As is everywhere.
As is everywhere. So is this something that is more affordable? Because it's like you can only live there. Is it like a gated community where you can only live there if you work for him? What are the perks? Is it going to be like a Stepford situation? Like, there's a lot of questions here that I have. But I think on its face, I would be a hypocrite to say, on the one end, why don't companies still invest in their workers in the same way, especially low, I would say laborers, like lower income, not the Googlers of the world.
Right.
In the way that the Kohler did. And then I see this story about Elon, and part of me wants to roll my eyes because it's Elon Musk. But I'm also like, and granted, maybe this is not a lot of the people who are working for SpaceX or Tesla are making enough that they don't necessarily need their own community. It's not a lot of, you know, first generation or like immigrant people necessarily having those engineering jobs, I would imagine. Well, some, not more like educated on like education visas than yes.
Anyways. Yes.
But I don't know. How do you feel? What does it ring for you?
Well, on the one hand, and I agree with you that I can see the benefits to this, but I think it's important to remember that not all was great in company towns. I mean, they had you.
Yeah.
They owned the grocery store. They owned everything. And so as altruistic as it may seem on the surface, I think there were other things that were not so great. Because, again, they had you.
Do you have any examples?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but I'm thinking about miners. And when in the early days of mining, you shopped at the company store and your wages went to the company store. Hmm. And that's why you could never get ahead, because everything you earned was going back to the company. And it was just this vicious cycle of trying to get ahead and the impossibility of doing that, because that's the only store for 50 miles. Where else are you going to go? So they kind of gotcha.
Well, and I think of this as I was thinking about this on the way in of like, how do I actually feel about this? Because I've thought about it before. Because again, my time, I never worked for Google. I certainly worked for one of the companies I worked for, spent way too much money on amenities for employees, like as far as how well we were fed and stocked fridges.
Pinball machines.
We didn't have pinball. We did have ping pong and video games. But, you know, there was a fridge and like there's like craft services basically on every floor. And that couldn't even like, you know, hold a candle to if you ever went to Google's campus and
all the perks they have there.
Oh, but and the criticism became of that. If you think there's a criticism there, is they make work so good that you just never want to leave. So like on a Google, like the Mountain View Google campus has a gym and you can do your laundry there and you can get all of your meals there. And if you get all your meals there, then you don't have to pay for food anywhere else. And so why would you ever leave campus and never stop working? Just that whole mentality.
Yeah.
That is not necessarily healthy either.
That's not good.
Of having a break and a split between your work family and your actual life. And so in reading this article about Elon building a utopia for SpaceX, Tesla, and Borg. I still don't know what the Boring Company, that's the name of this company, but I don't exactly know the hierarchy. Like, is like that how like Alphabet is to Google or how Meta is to Facebook? And so maybe I'm wrong in my assumption that kind of this like picturesque Kohler, Wisconsin, American Club history was maybe not as ideal and like picturesque as it looks when you're in the building and you're looking at the pictures and you're looking at the opportunities that were created for immigrants who had moved here and just wanted a good job. And so because there is more downsides and questions I have as far as, and it's not going to be called Elon Land or Muskville. It's going to be called, what is it? It's something snail. Snailbrook.
What?
Snailbrook, which is the mascot of the Boring Company.
Snailbrook?
Snailbrook.
Come on, Musktopia.
Musktopia is not bad.
Musktopia, Muskville.
So yeah, so the housing is in Snailbrook will be available to Elon Musk employees at reduced rent. So that's a thing. They have to rent instead of buy.
Okay.
And so starting last year, Boring employees could apply for cheaper homes with rents starting at just $800 a month for two or three bedroom houses. That's really cheap.
It is really
for
cheap.
For Austin, I mean, that's really cheap for Milwaukee right now. Or three bedrooms. Like, I don't even think you can find a one bedroom apartment right now.
Now that makes me want to check the building materials. So what kind of cardboard is Elon using in order to make these? Seriously, though.
Yeah.
How many corners are you going to cut? How many corners are you going to cut? Because he's not going to do this if he's not going to make money.
So what do we know? Well, that's not necessarily true. He's done things. He's made Tesla at a value. Like hasn't he given away? And I'm not trying to defend him because whatever.
He's received a whole bunch of money too.
Totally. I mean, he's the second, either he goes back and forth from being the first and second richest person in the world. Like, I'm not saying he hasn't done well, but wasn't one of the things for him with Tesla was like giving away the designs because he basically wanted there to be a competitive market for electric vehicles and not like patent everything. So he's the only one who can do it. And so I think there is altruistic motives as for him sometimes. But so here, what do we know about its design? Given the businessman's flair for innovation, it sure won't be just some boring town. Work at the site has already begun. And it will house modular homes, a pool, and outdoor sports area so the employees can stay fit. Reportedly, Musk, his girlfriend Grimes, and Kanye West, a.k.a. Ye, last year had several discussions over what the town might look like. I did not know that Kanye West is involved.
Well, that just guaranteed this is going to be the ugliest complex you have ever seen in your life.
Yeah, if you can think about, if you've ever seen what Yee's shoes look like.
Look at his clothing line. It's horrible.
Like the futuristic, talk about spaceships. We're talking about what ugly monstrosity might go into that Lake Geneva plot that the Chicago guy is going to raise the original house and build. They make modular homes.
So prefab, that leads me to believe prefab, and there's nothing wrong with that. But again, what's the quality going to be? How many corners are you going to cut? And is there going to be an annual weigh-in now if he's so concerned about all his employees staying fit, which is great, but I'm just curious.
It's good for the mind. Working out, it's good. You had oxytocin flowing.
Sure. I've heard of that.
So when do they move in? Most probably as soon as the construction is done. The billionaire may even have plans to have the town incorporated. But before Musk can apply for incorporation or charter from the state, Snailbrook will need at least 201 residents.
Oh.
And a county judge's approval. I'm surprised with how quickly Austin is growing. I'm surprised that there was just 3,500 acres of land in close enough proximity to Austin.
There's a lot of land in Texas.
I guess that's true. But you think about, I think about Southeast Wisconsin and how landlocked. Between, obviously we have the lake, but so many of our communities down here, like you can't just like buy, if you went to central Wisconsin.
Right.
Sure, there's still a lot of land in like other parts of Wisconsin. But I'm surprised with how quickly Austin has grown. But it is true. When you're in Texas, it's such a weird trip. of how spread out everything is.
Mm-hmm.
That like there'll be like one business and then you drive what feels like three city blocks until you get to the next building. And it's just very, very spread out.
And I just want to warn the upcoming residents that you can call it Snail Town or Snailville or Snail Rock. It's still going to be Muskville. You are going to be living in Muskville. Just accept it.
All right. Well, let us know. Would you, not just necessarily Elon, but if your company where you live right now built you a town with discounted rent and discounted amenities, would you live in it? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And we are talking about whether or not you would live in your company's town. So if you, the company you work for now, had built a town like Elon Musk is doing for Tesla and SpaceX and the Boring Company, would you want to live in it? I'm trying to think of, I would love to have you as a neighbor if Civic Media had a town.
Oh, thank you.
I'd also love to have Fancy Brian as a neighbor because I feel like he could probably fix anything that needed to be fixed in my house.
Anytime, anywhere. All he needs is gum and tape. He's amazing.
And so I would consider it. Sage Wild be the mayor of Civic Media town.
I would be comfortable. And say, but again, Sage is as far from Elon Musk as I think you could possibly get.
That is...
So I think it would be a far different kind. He would never want to call it Sageville.
He would definitely not want
right?
to call it Sageville.
No, he would not. Well, he would not be happy with it. We have David from Mech One on the phone. Thanks for waiting, David. What do you want to say?
You know, it really depends on the situation now. Obviously, I live in Mech One. I love Mech One. So I probably would not make that move. But if I were in an area, depending, you know, if I were in a smaller community where there's not much, I guess, opportunity, or if I was in a, you know, I'll be honest with you, I used to work at Chrysler and a long time ago when I was a kid, and Detroit, Detroit had some really bad areas.
Mm-hmm.
So it really depends on the situation. With that individual. And I think with a younger person, the flip side is if they're getting a brand new facility,
mm-hmm.
There's always a lot of perks with that. They're going to have a lot of modern amenities. So it really, you know, it depends on where you currently live and what your current opportunity is. And I think, Greendale one time actually, long time ago, they actually had a community started, and it was a certain builder, and it's actually historic. I forgot off the top of my head.
You're absolutely right, David. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it, that being the case, you know, it all depends. I mean, you have to see what it is. I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think people in that situation, let's say you guys were kind of joking, but let's say you guys were in close proximity in addition to being at work, but you guys now, you know, when you're not working, you have, interaction, you know, outside of work. And I think there could be some definitely good things with that, too. So
totally.
It all depends.
Yeah, it all depends. Thanks so much for the call, David. And, because we talk about this goes back to the idea of affordable housing and having enough places that are affordable for your workers to live, that are within a short-ish commute to the workplace. And instead, if you put your headquarters or your office or whatever in a place that is too expensive for the salary you are providing for people to live close enough to the office, you're basically asking employees to subsidize where you're choosing to have your headquarters or office with their commute, because you're not paying them enough to be able to afford to live in those areas. And so I also see the argument of, if you can afford to do this as a company, as we can, it's weird because it feels like Elon can just do this on his own.
Yeah.
And it's not on behalf of the company, even though he is the company. It's like the Venn diagram is a circle. But it is an argument for, you know, companies that are complaining that there's no one, you know, they can't get workers because what their price point to pay people
isn't enough,
is not enough money to live. You know, think about, we talked about this last month with Brookfield, and they're trying to have more workplace housing because there's certain communities. I mean, it would have been interesting to ask Dave that, as far as, like, you know, if you're a business in Mequon, Mequon's really expensive to live in.
Yes.
And so for some people, are they, you know, for a lower price point, either hourly work wage workers or lower salaries, like, how far do they have to drive to get there? And is that an issue? And so
we have a text from the 414 coming in. Some other past company towns in Wisconsin: Bayview, Leona, Weyerhaeuser, and Kohler, just to name a few. Some were for mining and manufacturing. But remember, these places were founded when people pretty much worked, lived, and died in the same place.
Yeah. Well, that's what, I mean, I always just think of Wisconsin Rapids, because it's a paper mill town.
Oh, sure.
Everyone, I mean, basically,
that's where everybody worked, right?
Almost everyone worked for the paper mill. And, you know, otherwise you were maybe a lawyer or a doctor. But most people in town worked for the paper mill. And so when the paper mill started, and then, one, you know, basically, once that paper mill was bought by a foreign entity, the upward mobility of getting promoted inside the company got cut off.
Sure.
And so there were still jobs, but there wasn't.
You weren't going to get anywhere.
Yes. And then, and now it's just closed, you know? And so, I don't know. It's interesting. It'll be interesting to see, you know, there's so many other things that feel like in Tesla and Twitter world right now are volatile.
One could say that.
One could say that, because we're not going to have time to talk about this a lot, but in the tumultuous area that Twitter is in right now, Meta, aka Facebook, is exploring plans to make a rival Twitter.
Ooh.
Which, that doesn't really sound exciting to me, because I hate Facebook these days, as far as, like, understanding it and trying to get things out so people can actually see it. So I have less faith that a new product from Meta would feel like it's revolutionary, because that is a company that's very good at buying other companies, not necessarily at building new things. But
I don't trust Mark Zuckerberg at all.
Do you trust any of those? Like, who amongst the, like, influential, famous tech bros are you like, well, that one seems okay?
Steve Jobs is dead, right?
Steve Jobs is dead.
Okay.
And supposedly, well, innovative, not the nicest guy in the world. He was.
Yeah. Shocker. By the way, yeah. I just want to throw this in there. The Boring Company is an American infrastructure and tunnel construction services company founded by Elon.
Got it.
So that was the hype. That's the Hyperloop company.
That's the Hyperloop. Okay. That makes more sense. All right. Well, I guess who's here when we come back? The Quick Trip girl.
Yay.
Cassandra Berger is going to be here to talk about, you know, it's been a while since she made the rounds with her 457 Quick Trip visits to every single one in Wisconsin. But I'm so excited to talk to her. So we're going to talk to Cassandra Berger, a.k.a. the KT Quick Trip girl, when we come back. And then the second half of the next hour, do some pie trivia, celebrate you math nerds out there. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Bye.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.